They will be like what Joseph was. He went about and he badmouthed his brothers in Genesis 37. He will go around and see what his brother did wrong and he come and tell his father. He was not building a relationship with his brothers. So one day, when he came to his brothers and functioned in his gift and said, "I have a dream," he was rejected. He had not established a relationship with his brother. Without that relationship, how can people accept your dream and your gift? He always brought an evil report about his brothers. No relationship built. That is why there are sometimes people who are in the traveling ministry, whether they be prophets or evangelists, or just teachers to the body of Christ, and if they don't have a relationship with local pastors and they don't treasure that relationship, they are not going to succeed no matter how great the gift is in their life. In the body of Christ, you cannot function permanently as a professional. The spirit will leave you, the anointing will wane, everything will turn dry, and you run out of doors to minister. They may be a hardcore group who have learned to go without the Spirit that you could still go to. The professional group. But you'll never be right where the Spirit is moving. Because there must be a special relationship. And I emphasize that. A pastor is not just an employee of a church. A pastor must choose to be a part of a spiritual, organic relationship with the saints of God. And it's something that must be developed. And people can feel it. People can feel it. The congregation on the pew can feel whether you are there because you love them, or you're there because you have an office to serve them with, that's all. But Paul was different. Paul told the Corinthians. Now this was what relationship this was like to him and the Corinthians. He says here, and there's one key word that he uses. But let's read here in verse 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in relationship, we deal with the special Greek word affections. We are in the second section now. And that word affections is a special Greek word that is from the word splagna. You can put a Greek word there, it's from the Greek word splagna. S-P-L-A-N-K-N-A, splagna. And that word affections or splagna is important because Paul expresses it many times. Like for example, in the book of Philippians, let me cross-reference, verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus." It's important to have the anointing of Jesus. It's important to have the call of Jesus. And the anointing of Jesus, that is in chapter 1 to chapter 5. We have the call, we have the anointing of Jesus. But in the second section, from chapter 6 to chapter 9, we need to develop the splankna of Jesus. What is the splankna of Jesus? The affection of Jesus Christ. To understand that word, we just cross-reference a little bit to the Gospel of Matthew and see some of its usage. Like in chapter 14, verse 14. Matthew 14, verse 14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and healed them. Jesus was moved with splankna for them. It's important to develop splankna in a ministry. Because splankna is where you begin to care for someone, not just because you are responsible in a job-wise. It's just because it's your duty. But you care for someone because you feel for them. You have affection for them. And that's splankna that Jesus felt. Jesus felt splankna for the people he ministered to. If we were to do a Greek study on the word splankna, you will find that in the original Greek and in the early Greek and in the classical Greek, they have three basic usage of the word splankna. Number one, the word splankna means inward parts. Number two, the word splankna has been used to refer to the womb of a woman. Something creative. And thirdly, in its usage in the Bible, number three, it has been used for the total personality of a person. The depths, the essence of a person. If you know what is essence, like if you were to take coffee or something, I don't drink coffee or tea, so let me use some other illustration. John Sung's favorite food was the essence of chicken. Whenever he traveled, they would take a whole chicken and they would boil and boil until all the juice of the chicken gets into the water and the chicken is practically tasteless. And then from there, they will boil until it's thick and then he will just drink it. Today, you got it in modern form, brand's essence of chicken. Right? The essence, that all this, that is the depths, the content that makes it what it is. You remove the essence that something becomes tasteless. And so that was what splankna mean, that whole essence and the totality of a personality. Now, cross-reference also to some usage of splankna. You notice here in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, verse 12, he says, "You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections." Paul was telling the Corinthians that splankna can restrict them in their capability. Now, if it's true of them, it's true of Paul. But Paul says from his side, he has opened up to them. He has released all his splankna towards them. The affection of Jesus Christ that was flowing through his life. He has already made that choice. And he's encouraging the Corinthians to do the same thing. So as we look at the development of a spiritual father, we see that splankna is an important area in that area. The release of splankna. Chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians, verse 3, he says here, "I do not say this to condemn you, For I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. How many pastors and shepherds can do that for their sheep? Look at Paul. He tells the Corinthians, he says, we live together, we die together. Say that Jesus is a good shepherd. Say Jesus is a good shepherd. He says the definition of a good shepherd in John chapter 10. This is the definition of a good shepherd in verse 11. John 10 verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The good shepherd is willing to die for the sheep. What is a bad shepherd? John chapter 10 says, he is called a hireling. A hireling. When we look at 2 Corinthians and see what ministry really means, and then we look around, we wonder how many really qualify. But that's what ministry is about. It is a commitment of life. We may sign a contract, you may be employed by a church and they have a 5-year contract and all these things, but it's more than that. All those are organizational and legal necessities. But the more important thing is the commitment of your spirit and your heart. Next time God calls you, say, does that only apply to the pastor? The pastor must be willing to die for his sheep. The evangelist that is called to any nation must be willing to die for their nation. If you are called to evangelize, then you must be willing to die for the converts. An apostle must be willing to die for the countries or the country or the tribe or the race that he's called to. The prophet must be willing to give the prophecy and live and die just to give that prophecy. If he has to die for that prophecy he delivers, the prophet must be willing to do that. So in developing the relationship in the ministry, number one is developing splagna. Study more what the word splagna means. We have one whole tape on splagna. But the second area is what I call a life and death commitment. Not just a professional work commitment. We are talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about just an organization. We must be willing to go by it. And because the body of Christ lacks such commitment, and because leaders lack that commitment, we don't have the glorious church. May God raise up more leaders, more spiritual leaders who are willing to lay down their lives for the sheep. We have far too many hirelings raised up who are going out to fleece the sheep. A lot of sheep are going around botak. And then you turn around and see who is wearing all those wool and you find it's the hireling. Wearing a 20-piece suit, all made from the sheep's wool. We must have the love and commitment. That applies to a full-time worker, and applies also to any leader whether part time or spare time. I mean, if you want to be a spare tire, you have to be a good one. If your car tire punctures and you are the spare, you replacing the spare tire, you're not going to take another punctured tire and put it there. You're going to take another tire that is usable. So we